when you said, if you can't figure out the color, buy all of them. But then you blew it. You said they're poor quality, so you have to have a lot of them. I mean, that just doesn't work. Now, I understand you work for the county, so you do work on the lowest bidder type of a system in your life, so I get that. I get that you go there, but thank you, Mark. That's amazing. Your testimony is incredible. It can almost be, okay, guys, we're done. What more do we need than that, right? So thank you. I'd encourage you all to check that out. Talk to Mark. He's got an incredible testimony, incredible story of God redeeming situations in his life. And very, very amazing man of God. So if you get a chance, chat with him. Can we change the lights a little bit? I can't see anybody. I feel like I'm up here by myself. So, hi, Beth. So, last week we were talking about mothers and Mother's Day, and it kind of got me thinking a little bit about my kids. I remember when I was talking with Cindy up here about that being my 22nd Happy Mother's Day, and my oldest daughter, Stephanie, graduated from college this week. So it's kind of this weird, you know, dynamic of baby versus 22-year-old going into adulthood. And as I was thinking about the baby years, it was interesting because when she was first born, first child, all you want to do is hold this kid, you know, and just stare at him. And you parents know what I mean. You just want to look at him, and I'm not sure why. They're kind of weird looking and wrinkly, and all they do is cry or sleep or that's pretty much it, I guess, yeah. So, the diaper thing, that kind of goes without saying. That's when you say, Cindy, do you want to hold her for a while? No, I changed my share of diapers. I don't want to be assaulted by all the moms afterwards. So that was great, you know. And then they start to grow up. And I remember a camping trip that we were on. We decided we're going to take the trailer out. We had a little 17-foot travel trailer. We're going to go to Eastern Washington. And just the three of us going to go camping in September. So Stephanie would have been a couple years old. So we get on this camping trip, and of course, as parents, we have this great expectations about family time together, right? So we get there, and we start just thinking, great, our week's going to be perfect. And Stephanie sends this message that maybe our week is not going to be so perfect. And as a two-year-old, she's starting to explore her world a little bit, and it was a miserable week, honestly. She was defiant. She wouldn't do anything. She wouldn't mind. She was crying the whole time, throwing fits. I'm going to owe her big time after this because she is in the back. It was just this challenging week. And I remember Cindy and I standing in one end of the trailer, and there was a couch across the front of the trailer, and Stephanie's sitting there just screaming. We're looking at each other thinking, what do we do now? I'm not really sure. New parents, haven't really gone through this before. Really, really unsure what our next steps are. And so it's kind of this odd situation of when you have a child, there's this unconditional love. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens. You just love them. And it's this, I think it's unique, honestly, in creation. You instantly have this love for a baby when you have them. But it doesn't mean that the relational side is not challenging and that there's not a process to go through to relate to your kids. So this past few weeks, we've been talking about that exact thing. We've been talking about relationship with God. We've been talking about what it looks like to have a deep, intimate relationship with Him. And we're going to continue that today in our Insider series. Yep, we're already there. In our Insider series. So message note sheets, you have those in your chairs if you want to follow along in that way. So let's pray and ask God into our time today. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to live life in relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, as we talked about earlier, as we prayed earlier, as we sang about earlier in worshiping you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be reunited with you in relationship. And thank you, God, that your heart for us is that you want more, that you always want deeper, and there's always more available. And when we press into that, Lord, we can meet you in that place and know more of you. And we just pray, Lord, that as we come to you with a heart of thanksgiving this morning, that you would show us the way to deeper and more with you. And we pray, Lord, that you bless our time for the rest of this morning. In your name, Jesus, amen. So, quick question, and we've got the kids with us today, for you guys especially. You go to school, you're maybe on the playground, you see somebody new. What's the first thing that you have to do to begin a relationship with that person? What do you got to do? Easy question. Say hi. Perfect. Well done. I don't have any candy today, so sorry. But we'll have to get the rain check forms, and Randy can give you candy. But yeah, you need to introduce yourself. And then at that point, you need to start a process of getting to know them. And it doesn't matter if it's friendship or dating. Actually, scratch that, guys. Maybe your parents would kill me if I talk to you about dating today. So, but if you want to get to know somebody, you need to start a process into relationship. And that process is you need to get to know that person. And it requires investment. Developing a relationship requires investment. So if you remember the last few times we've been talking about the nature of God. We've been talking about the wildness of God, the adventurous side of God. And then last week we talked about the nurturing, loving side of God. And remember whose story we looked at? Who'd we talk about? Bible story, Bible character last week. Deborah, right. And Deborah means in Hebrew, I'm going to stretch your memory now. Honeybee? Yeah. Yeah. This life-giving with a sting, which I thought was a great picture, a great word picture. There's a nurturing fierceness about God. So what we're going to do today is we're going to start looking at what that journey looks like. So we're going to look at, we've looked at the attributes of God. And again, when you want to develop a relationship with somebody, you need to understand and know them. But there is a process. So we're transitioning today into process. What does it look like to begin to take a journey of relationship with God? And if you're following along in the book, it's chapter 4. We're going to be talking about the analogy we're looking at is stair steps. You see we've got our little stairs over here. So the next few weeks, we're going to be pressing further into that. Scripture today, we're going to be primarily looking at the book of Exodus. So if you want to open your Bibles and get ready with the book of Exodus, we'll look at chapters 3 and 4 primarily. We'll also have it up on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you as well. And I want to pause just for a minute, though, before we get to that, because we're looking at the Old Testament, I just want to make a critical point here that, first of all, we are looking at an Old Covenant illustration within the context of a new covenant reality in our lives. Old covenant illustration, new covenant reality in our lives. So guys, you remember, first of all, what changed between old covenant and new covenant? What changed? Everything got better. Well, yes, it became much easier to approach God, absolutely. But did God change? Did the nature of God change? No. The nature of God did not change. Our relationship with God changed. Our position with God changed. Well, we have the opportunity to have a changed position with God. So I want to make that important point that God did not change, but our relational position with Him did. And if you remember, many of you might remember they used to look at the four spiritual laws. God created us in love for relationship, right? And then number two, mankind decided we're going to take things into our own hands, which caused separation from God. Number three, who came to redeem us, to save us? Come on, guys. You got this. Jesus, right? And then number four, when we accept that sacrifice from Jesus, we are reunited. That gulf between God, separation between God and man, can be bridged through the sacrifice of Jesus. So that's the lens that we're going to be looking at. I know I said we're going to be talking about Exodus a little bit, but let's look at this. Let's start out with Moses' life in Deuteronomy. 34:10, and there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Now, I love that this says face to face. And kids, this is not texting. Texting is not face to face. When we talked about developing a relationship with somebody, that's not, can you give me your phone number so I can text you back and forth? Moses had a deeper, closer relationship. And you can actually talk to people. It can be on the phone. I'll give you that much technology. But yeah, I mean, relationship is developed through personal contact. And I think that this particular verse points to really a picture of things to come. And remember, Old Covenant, New Covenant. I think that what I love about the Old Testament is it shows us all of these really, there's not only direct prophecies, but I think there's some pictures of what God has in mind for us under the New Covenant. If you look at, clicker's not working, guys. No? All right, we're taking a pause. Commercial break. All right, there we go. So relationship with God requires a personal relationship. And if we look at some of the New Covenant, New Testament, Testament means covenant, covenant means testament, interchangeable words. John 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And who's the helper? Holy Spirit, right? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So really a critical distinction between our illustration with Moses and our lives today. We have this opportunity to have a directness with God that even Moses didn't experience. And then John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So basically, God's telling us here, Jesus is telling us here, that we have an opportunity to interact with God, right? Holy Spirit will be given us. Holy Spirit came to us at Pentecost, and we have an opportunity to have a relationship with God unlike anything that had been available to mankind in the past, other than in the beginning at the garden. We have an opportunity to interact with God. And what I love about this is it says, really, will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the relationship with God is one that, just by looking at these verses, that Jesus is, as he's foretelling the coming of the Holy Spirit, that this relationship is one of ongoing depth. There will be more and more and more as the Holy Spirit interacts with us and we go to him in relationship, that there will be a growth to that process. So positionally, because, and this is important, you have to get this, positionally, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are what with him? We're perfect with God. We are washed clean with God. There's nothing that changes that. You are made perfect before God. However, and this is a critical verse, I think, in Hebrews, which really talks about this, for by a single offering he has perfected, or in the NIV, has made perfect for all time those who are being sanctified. NIV, sanctified means to be made holy. So we are being made holy. So we're in the situation that not only are we made perfect positionally with Jesus and with God, but we are also in a process of being sanctified or being made holy. So this is a cool verse. I mean, really, it gives you the assurance that you have relationship with God. Nothing changes that. When you accept the sacrifice of Jesus personally in your life, you are restored. The gap has been bridged between God and mankind through Jesus. You're restored into that relationship. You are perfectly clean before God. But you are also being made holy as you journey deeper with God in that relationship. So with my daughter, when we were initially when we initially had Stephanie, you know, we've got this relationship where absolute unconditional love, right? I'm looking at her thinking, how could I love anything more than this baby? But the relationship, again, was pretty one-sided there. I mean, she was not at this point matured, and so we're having a relationship that's really more of me giving and Cindy giving and caring for her and nurturing her and loving her, but there wasn't a whole lot of interaction. And then at 2, when the interaction started, she understood that there's this independence in her, and relationship changed a bit. Now, it was more fulfilling, certainly for us, more challenging at the same time, but the relational process was moving. It was getting deeper, and that's really a picture, I think, of what we can have with God. But our love never changed for her, and that's exactly what Hebrews 10 is telling us. Positionally, Stephanie's love did not, or our love for Stephanie did not change. It was as deep and as pure most of the time, but it was set. She was in the family. Nothing would change that. So we've got to get this. We've got to understand that you have positionally been made perfect through Jesus, but you're also in this process of being made holy. All right, so let's take a look at Exodus 3 and a bit of scripture to get through here. It will be up on the screen. And let's read through that. I'm going to read it here, which I think will be easier for me. So when the Lord saw that, when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called him out of the bush. Remember, we got to look back up a little bit. Moses is keeping his flocks, and he sees this light on the mountainside, and he turns aside to see this sight, burning bush that didn't burn. So we're in the burning bush story here. Flame of fire in the midst of the bush, the angel of the Lord appeared. So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now, can you imagine that? You're this guy, you're out tending your sheep, you're just kind of hanging out, doing your thing, you're married, you've kind of got life kind of figured out. All of a sudden, the very presence of God appears, and you get the opportunity to walk up and see this thing that's happening. Yeah, I think you probably would be a little bit afraid in that moment. Continuing in verse 7, "Then the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.'" So God is in this, I think, it's a great picture of God wanting relationship with us. He wants to have more. He didn't just turn away and say, "Hey, you guys got the world you asked for? Figure it out." No, God was pursuing us, pursued the lost sheep. And I love this, verse 11, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' And what'd God say?" "I will be with you." Sorry, we didn't have the advancement. We're too far here. Oh, there you go. Sorry. Yep, he was right. I was wrong. The media guys sometimes get no credit. I will give him absolute credit. I was looking at the wrong spot here. So yeah, he said, "I will be with you. I will be with you when you go." So Moses has this posture with this initial relationship with God, but what's it based on? What's the initial reaction that Moses has? when he sees God, first of all. Fear, yeah, he's scared. And then God says, yeah, why don't you go ahead and go do this thing? And Moses, really, God, you want me to do this? Are you sure? But what's God do? He reassures him, I will be with you. When Kathleen, our middle daughter, was learning to ride a bike, I remember the process very clearly. It was the, okay, get on the bike, and I'm, you know, moms and dads, you've done this. You hold the back of the seat, or you hold the spot in the back of the bike, and you're kind of walking along, and the kids are like, are you sure? No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Are you sure you're going to? Yes, I've got you. I've got you. Remember that? It's just constant reassurance. I have you. But they're questioning, right? Because the pavement's really hard. And if you fall, you guys have fallen on your bikes, right? Not really fun, is it? So there's a fear there that I might fall. But no, mom or dad, I've got you. I've got this. And that's really what God was doing. And what he really was doing was starting to develop this process and relationship, which was trust. Relationship requires trust. We cannot have any amount of depth of relationship in any relationship, or certainly with God, until we understand and trust his heart towards us. We must trust God's heart. And God gives us ample opportunity to do that. And but Moses was in fear. He didn't actually know what to expect for the most part. And I think that's often the case. Well, I know for me it's the case oftentimes. Even under the truth of new covenant, we question God, don't we? You guys ever question God? God tells us, go do this thing. And we have this relational position with God. We have him literally intertwined with our spirit. We know him to that level. We have the Holy Spirit within us, John 14, Hebrews 10. We have this relationship, but we still question, right? We still question God. And that usually happens more, I think, early in our relationship with him. So let's take a look at Moses' story again here. Let's continue on. But Moses said, and we're in chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Good, get that up there. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Now, before we get to verse 13, remember the context of this is Moses had questioned, how are they going to know that you sent me? How are the Egyptians going to understand that you are the one who sent me? So God has shown him different miracles. Throw your staff down on the ground, and it becomes a snake. Put your hand in your cloak, and what happened to the hand? Yeah, became leprous. Put your hand back in the cloak and it's clean again. So Moses has seen these miracles. He's seen the actual power. He's in the presence of God. He's seen the power of God with miracles happening in front of him. And then look at verse 13. But he said, oh my Lord, please send someone else. I mean, okay. Can you imagine? Moses is arguing with God. He's seen the power of God in front of him. He's seen God perform miracles. God has asked him into mission with him, and he argues with him. I mean, imagine that. It's like Jesus all of a sudden miraculously appears right here and says, will you come walk outside and follow me up the street? And you're like, yeah, can you send somebody else? Really? You're going to argue with God with that in front of you? So Moses really is so insecure about who he is and his own identity, his own internal value and worth, that he actually has the audacity and the nerve to argue with God. And I think that we do that so often. I know I do that all the time. It's, you know, God calls me into something that he's asking me into, he's inviting me into, really, into his story. And I'm like, yeah, God, really? There's probably somebody better. Maybe Bill over here. Could you talk to Bill? He's probably more qualified than I am. I can't do this. You actually argue with God because we have these things internally that that drive us. We do that. We push away from relationship with God. So with the kids, especially you see this in the grade school dynamic as they're getting older. As my daughters got older, oftentimes they'd come home with some sort of an assignment or something that they're doing in class, and they just kind of, yep, I can't do this. I'm just not good at math, or I'm just not good at spelling, or whatever it might be. They just go to this place of, no, I can't do it. It's not me. Whoa, as a parent, again, parenting opportunity here. No, let's talk about this and figure this out. Let's not jump to conclusions that it's just not who you are, that you just don't have these abilities. Let's walk through this process together in relationship. And then you get the opportunity to speak into your kids' lives, and they understand, oh, well, maybe I'm okay at math. Maybe God did design me to do this thing. Maybe there is something that I have to offer, and I can do it well. But it takes an investment. It takes a process to get through that. But I think the reality is that most people really think deep down at some point, and think about this for a minute. I guarantee you every single person in here has had this thought that they're ultimately in some way in their life a disappointment to God. I am a disappointment to God. And just think about that for a minute. Ever thought that about anything in your life? Probably not measuring up. How could God possibly love me? How could God possibly want to have a relationship with me? Because I'm such a disappointment. I'm not worthy, or any variation of that. And your own fears, insecurities and wounds cause you to question your relationship with God. You begin to question your relationship with God. And then you throw in the component of spiritual warfare, because the Scripture tells us we are in this time, in this period in history, under a world at war. The Scripture says this is a world that's under the control of the evil one, of the enemy. So you start to overlay that on there, and then very quickly you can be pushed out of depth of relationship with God. Yeah, God just, he doesn't like me. Probably likes everybody else in the world better, but not me. And at that point, you're done. But the truth about us is, and I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 3, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We've been given this truth that with unveiled face, an unveiled face means that we are restored, again, back to Hebrews 10:14, we are restored into relationship with God. We are now a part of God's family. And beholding the glory of God, again, we're under new covenant. When you've accepted the sacrifice of Jesus into your life, we are beholding the glory of the Lord. We can actually see God. We have this connection with God that's available to us. And then we're being transformed again back to that journey of being made holy, journey of sanctification with God. So this verse really covers it well. It talks again about positionally where we are with God, but that we are in a journey of sanctification. And then again, that's mirrored again with Hebrews 10 that we talked about earlier, for by a single offering he is perfected, made perfect for all time, those who are being made holy or being sanctified. And Moses, I think, really presses into a journey with God. Despite all the things that he does, despite all of his doubts, despite actually arguing with God, which I love that story. He pressed into a journey. He pressed further into journey. Let's take a look at Exodus 33. So now we're in a place where we have a little different relationship that we see with Moses. Moses has gone through and pressed through his insecurities and pressed through his doubts about who he is and about whether he can trust the heart of God. And he's entered into relationship. He's gone into mission, pressed into mission. And let's take a look at chapter 33, starting in verse 9. Now, Moses is at a place in this section where he has a different relationship with God. He's got a communion with God that's illustrated beautifully here, I think. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Very different picture of what Moses' relationship with God looked like. Right? Before, we've got Moses arguing with God, questioning who he is. But now, because Moses has moved into relationship and developed a relationship with God, we have this incredible picture of God speaking with Moses as a friend face-to-face. Now, face-to-face, I think, is not a literal picture because you couldn't actually see God face-to-face and behold the full glory of God in that moment. I think it's really illustrating that, again, this is not a texting relationship that Moses has with God, right? This is, we're going to sit down over coffee, we're going to just chat, we're going to enjoy each other's company. We are going to have a deep communion in relationship with each other. So let's continue through I want to make sure you fill in your blanks here. So basically, like Moses, you have to understand that God truly wants a deep relationship with you. So Moses did understand that. He got it. He figured out that God's motives were, I want to be with you. I want to pursue relationship with you. And you have to understand that that is where God is with you. He wants to pursue relationship with you. He wants to spend time with you. And I honestly think when we push him away, when we say, yeah, no, I'm sorry, God, I don't have time for you, I think that grieves God's heart. Because the deepest thing that he wants is to have that relationship with you. He wants you to go to him with your troubles and with your cares and with your joys and with the things in your life that you're experiencing that bring you happiness. I mean, he wants to be a part of that. And Moses, I think, understood that very well. So let's move on to verse 12 here. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said," and he's talking about who's going to go with him on this mission, "I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." I love that. Isn't that cool? How many times have you wanted God to say, "My presence is going to go with you, and I will give you rest"? That's, thank you, God. I want that so many times, but the reality is I don't ask for it. I don't press into relationship with God. I try to do it on my own, try to do it in my own strength. And really, God just wants to say, you know what? I'm here. I'm here with you. Let's do this together, and your soul, your spirit will be at rest. Love that picture. Continuing verse 15, "And he said to him, 'If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, and I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?' And the Lord said to Moses, 'This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name.' Moses said, 'Please show me your glory.' And he said, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.'" And I love this. "You have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." God had a relationship with Moses that was just incredible. And continuing on in verse 20, the rest of that story, Moses says, "God, can you show yourself to me?" And God knew that he could not, his holiness really precluded the opportunity for Moses to actually see his face, but he said, I will show you as much of my glory as I can. And that's the story where God passes by and Moses sees God's back. So God deeply knew Moses, deeply loved him as a friend, and deeply desired relationship with him. But you have to step into that. You have to step into that journey, and you have to step into that relationship. Now, one thing I want to make very clear here, when you read that passage, you see that there was a theme where Moses has found favor in my sight. We don't have to earn God's position with us. We don't have to earn our position with God. We don't have to earn salvation. I'm not talking about earning anything with God. We can't do that. It's impossible to reestablish and bridge the gulf of separation from God through works or anything that we can do. Impossible. Jesus bridged that gulf. That's the only bridge that we can have to restore relationship with God. But we do have to press into relationship with him. And ample, will over the next few weeks, we'll be talking a lot more about that. There's ample opportunity for us to actually not do that. And the Bible says, don't grieve the Spirit. We can actually have an impact on God and an impact on our relationship with God that stops it in its tracks. Still, we're positionally great. We're positionally okay with God. We are restored as sons, restored as daughters, but there is a process. And I think Moses understood in that story what the process was. I think we lost our last slide, guys. There you go. So for those of you who are the have to fill in every blank, you do not have to earn God's favor or acceptance. You can't earn God's favor. You can't earn God's acceptance. Deep, intimate relationship is freely available with God. Freely available, you have to understand, freely available means accepting personally the sacrifice of Jesus in your life. And at that point, as Jesus foretold and as we see in Acts, the Holy Spirit comes to us and we have position with God and relationship with him deep within our soul, our very spirit. So for me, as a dad, coming forward to this graduation time with my daughter as a 22-year-old, and she's getting ready to go out into the world and work, and she's an adult. And my other daughters are 17 and 14, and so they're growing up. Notice I said the word teen on the end of that, so you can fill in the blanks on that. They start driving, and, hey, Dad, can I have the car? Or, hey, Dad, I'm going to be gone until whatever time tonight. Whoa, let's pause here. Let's talk about that a little bit. But they grow up, and our relationship changes. It's different, and it's cool, because now it is, as Moses talked about, as Exodus talked about, it is face-to-face as a friend. Now, don't get me wrong. If any of you have babies that you bring to church, I'm going to be holding them. Because I miss that. But I wouldn't give up what we have now for anything. This depth of relationship with my kids and with my girls is just so amazing. But it's been a process, right? It's been a process. And that's the process that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. The stairs are the picture that we're going to be looking at. But you have to understand that it's going to require that you press into a journey with God to get that. But I know we can. Scripture tells us we can. We've experienced that in different areas of our lives. But there's always more with God, always more relationship we can have with him. So we're going to ask some questions during that time as well. So I would encourage you to not miss the next few weeks. We're going to ask some questions that are related to challenging things we experience in our lives. Why do we have suffering? What does suffering look like in our lives? How do we have relationship with God through challenging times in our lives, through loss? All of these different things that you say, well, sure, I can have a relationship with God. However, what about this? We're going to be talking about those things, real life, because we live in a world that real life happens. But we also live in a world which is under the truth of Hebrews 10:14. We have been made perfect through the sacrifice of Jesus, and we have an opportunity to become holy with a journey with God. So let's pray, and then we'll finish up for the day. Jesus, thank you that you've given us the opportunity to come back to you, God, that you have loved us so much that you've called us back, that you've sacrificed yourself for us, that you have pursued us, that you've sent your very Spirit to us to comfort us, to guide us, to live life together with us. Jesus, that is just, it's beyond imagination, Lord, that we have that opportunity to have that kind of relationship with you, but it's such a deep, amazing thing in our lives, and we thank you for it. Lord, I just pray that over the next few weeks, you would continue to speak to us about what these different stages in our relationship look like so we can know you deeper, so we can know ourselves better as sons and as daughters, Lord, in your family. And we thank you for that. We just pray, Lord, that you'd bless the rest of our day, that you would continue to speak through us, to us, Lord, through your Spirit this afternoon. I just pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.